We'll continue our study in the book of Genesis. Last study we left off in the life of Joseph. Joseph's brothers were dining with him, and they drank and were merry with him. And this is how the chapter left off, the chapter 43. Today we'll see Joseph's brothers tested by Joseph. And let us never forget that we see in Scripture, in the Scriptures we see in the life of Joseph, there are a revelation of what God has purposed to happen. And Moses, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote these historical accounts, but he had no way of knowing what to write except by divine inspiration. And we're reading just exactly what God told Moses to write, and the purpose of what God decreed to happen is unfolding right before our eyes as we go through this life of Joseph study. And we know and we have seen these historical accounts that they point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the salvation of His chosen people, His blood-bought people. If a man who is teaching or preaching is not pointing us to Christ, he's not God's preacher. Let's begin our study in Genesis chapter 44. We'll read verse 1. And he, being Joseph, commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the man's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth." So Joseph's brothers had been reunited with Simeon, and they had received permission to go back to their father from Joseph to the land of Canaan. And in this verse, we see that Joseph gave the command to his servant to fill his brother's sacks with as much food as they could carry. And then to put all their money back in the sack again. And we see here a picture of the spiritual feast that we have with Christ, beloved. Because what He gives us cannot be purchased. It cannot be purchased with silver or gold. It cannot be earned by the works of your hands. Thus the Scripture says this in Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." So all this was given to Joseph's brethren, and they didn't pay a cent for it. It all came from the mercy of Joseph. Mercy of Joseph to them. So we have a spiritual lesson here before us. Are not the ministers and stewards of God's mysteries to proclaim, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, and come buy wine and money or milk without money and without price"? That's what we proclaim. Let's read verse 2 now. "And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, in his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. So we see here that Joseph has his steward put his own personal cup in Benjamin's sack. It's a silver cup. It'd be worth a lot of money. And he has it put in Benjamin's sack. And this silver cup belonged to Joseph. And absolutely no one had the right to that cup but Joseph. But Joseph himself. And no one had the authority to command the servant to put Joseph's cup in the sack but Joseph himself. Joseph's silver cup is a picture of the cup of salvation, beloved, which belongs to God alone. Salvation is of the Lord, and no one has the right to grant salvation to anyone but the Lord. Christ, our heavenly Joseph, can give his cup of salvation to whomever he pleases. It's his. He owns it. And that silver cup belongs to God. And he will put his silver cup in the sack's mouth individual earthen vessels as it pleases him. As it pleases him. What is the result of the cup of salvation that's placed in these earthen vessels? Well, the psalmist declares this, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Those who receive this cup, the cup of salvation, we rejoice, don't we? We take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, and we never stop calling on him, do we? And that's found in Psalm 116:13. And who is it that's commanded the light to shine out of the darkness? It's God who's done that for us, hasn't it? It's God who's done that. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. It's of the power of God, not of us. We have no power to save ourselves. We gather together to hear the gospel proclaimed. We dine with Christ when we do that, who is our heavenly Joseph. And we hear the wonderful gospel truths proclaimed and enables us to forget what? All our worldly problems, doesn't it? When we're here, we're not thinking about things outside. Not at all. We forget our worldly problems, and hearing the gospel fills our hearts with joy because it speaks of that which has eternal value. That which has eternal value. And think of this also, that Joseph, being directed by God the Holy Spirit, had his silver cup placed in Benjamin's sack. Why? For the purpose of bringing his brothers back to him. Bringing his brothers back to him. He was going to reveal himself, and we will see that in the next chapter, in our next study. He's going to reveal himself, but they had not yet sincerely submitted themselves to his sovereign authority. They needed to be further humbled to the point where they saw that they were hopeless and helpless before the monarch of Egypt. Little did they know that that was their dear brother Joseph. And they needed to cry out for sovereign mercy. They did not know that this Joseph was the very one that they hated without a cause. The very one that they had sold into slavery is the very one who's being so generous to them. They had no idea. They did not know that it was only he who could show them mercy. And they wouldn't know that it was Joseph until he revealed himself. So what a picture of Christ we have before us. What a picture of Christ we have before us. It is the convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit, who brings us by faith, which is given to us by him, that we come to the feet of Jesus Christ our Lord. We come humbly before him, don't we? Humbly before him. We are brought to see our helpless and hopeless condition before him. And we see our need of sovereign mercy when he draws us to Christ, don't we? We see our need of sovereign mercy. And then what do? We humbly bow before our great King. We submit ourselves to him, don't we? We submit ourselves to him. By God's sovereign grace and by the power of God, he reveals himself to us as the only one who can bestow his mercy on hell-deserving sinners. And again, it's he who must reveal himself to us, or we'll never know him. We'll never know him. If he does not reveal himself to us, and if he does not draw the sinner to himself, the sinner will never cry out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. They will stay dead in trespasses and sins. But by God's sovereign grace and his sovereign mercy, the Lord's people submit ourselves to Christ. We're made willing in the day of his power. And what do we submit ourselves to? Who do we submit ourselves to? Well, the thrice holy God, don't we? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his righteousness. His righteousness alone for our acceptance before God. In our natural state, we were ignorant of God. We were ignorant of who He was. We were ignorant of His righteousness that He requires for us to be in His presence. We were ignorant of the Word of God. And what did we do? We did just like everybody else. We went about trying to establish our own righteousness, didn't we? That's what we did. And we had not submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God. And that's true of every single person in their natural state, whether they're a lost person or a religious lost person. Every man and woman in their natural state tries to go about establishing their own righteousness before God. Let's read verse 3. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And we see in this verse that Joseph's brothers were sent away and they were filled with temporary relief. They'd probably be rejoicing. Now they're going back to the land of Canaan. And they would have been in a joyful mood. Their trip had been a successful one. They were probably longing to be back to their homes and to their families. Let's read verses 4 to 6 now. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, fall after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. So we see here that Joseph gives his steward specific instructions, doesn't he? Gives them specific instructions on what to do and what to say. And this is exactly what his steward did. This is exactly what his steward did. Beloved of God, he would not have been a faithful steward to his master if he'd not obeyed the commands that were given to him, would he? And all this, now, again, we're reading this, is all purposed, planned and purposed by God. And we see this is purposed by Joseph now to bring his brothers before him so he could make himself known to them. And Joseph's steward typifies God's preachers who are stewards of the mysteries of God. And it's required that in stewards that a man be found faithful. And God uses whatever means he is pleased to use to bring his loved ones under the preaching of the gospel for this purpose, to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to them, to his loved ones, to his elect, to his chosen people, to his redeemed, purchased bride. Let's read verses 6 to 12 now. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we bought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it is found, both let him die, and we also will be the Lord, my Lord's bondmen." And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. We see here in our text that Joseph's faithful servant overtook his brothers, told them exactly what his master had told them to say, accused them of stealing Joseph's cup. We see that they proclaim that they are innocent. even bringing up the fact that they had bought back the money that they had found in their sacks in their first visit. And they're using this as an argument to prove their innocence. They were so sure of their innocence that they made a very rash proposal in verse 9. Look at this. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, being the cup, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. So they were so rash in what they said that they said, whoever you find the cup with, let him die. And let us be servants to the Lord of the Egyptians, which was Joseph. In verse 10, we see that the servant said, let it be according to your words. Then he states that the blame will only be on the one with whom the silver cup was found again in verse 10. And he said, now let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found, being the cup, shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. And we see in verse 11 that a search was made of the bags, beginning with the eldest, Reuben, way down to the youngest, Benjamin. And we know from our studies in the life of Joseph that Joseph's brothers were not righteous men. They were not righteous men. They were wicked. And we know that God's purpose is being worked out right here before us, isn't it? It's being worked out right here before us. These men would be humbled before Joseph, just like we're humbled before the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Joseph. Our heavenly Joseph. And they would be convicted of what they had done to Joseph. He was only 17 years old when they sold him into slavery. And we will see that they will have true repentance before him, and they will be afraid. They will be afraid too for what they had done to him. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit of God does to all his chosen blood-bought children. He makes us aware that we have absolutely no righteousness before God on our own. He makes us aware of that. So we cannot use our so-called good deeds to try to justify ourselves before God. Because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he reveals Christ to us in his righteousness, doesn't he? As our only hope before God. Is Christ your only hope before God? Because if he's not, then you have a refuge of lies. He is the only hope for the sinner before God. Let's read verses 12 to 13 together. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. There it is. And look what they do. Look at their response. And they rent their clothes and laid every man his ass and returned to the city. We see in verse 17 that, or in verse 12, that Joseph's silver cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And then we see in verse 13 that they rent their garments and return to stand before Joseph. Now, during this time when one rented their garments, it was and still is an Eastern token of great distress. They were in great distress that this was happening. Great distress. What could they do? They'd been found guilty of the charge against them. And note what's missing in the text here. Note what's missing. They didn't rail on Benjamin. You see that? They did not rail on Benjamin. They didn't look to him and say, how could you do such a thing? You know why? Because true repentance does not point out the finger in any direction but self. Each one of these wicked men knew that their iniquity had found them out. And remember earlier in our study, they believed that God was dealing with them for what they had done with their brother. And not one of them is saying to Benjamin, how could you do this? They might not have known if Benjamin had stolen Joseph's silver cup or not, but they knew that he had nothing to do with what they had done to Joseph. And we see here that they rent their clothes and return to the city. Let's read Genesis 44, verse 14 and 15 now. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? Note here that Judah's name is mentioned in verse 14, and his brethren. Now we know from our past studies that Judah typified Christ as surety for Benjamin. And he typifies Christ as the spokesman for his brethren. And we know that Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's one of his titles in the book of Revelation. And again, we've seen all through this study and our studies in the scripture that all this was purposed by God and planned by God and executed by God to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Joseph. It is he who is our surety, isn't it? It is he who is our advocate. It is he who is the very one who represents all his brethren, his chosen people, who speaks on our behalf in the presence of the Father. In the presence of the Father. Salvation is a work of God we know from beginning to end. And it is God himself who humbles us before him, who convicts us of our sinful hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel before we're even saved. And it's God himself who moves us to confess our sinful nature and our sinful deeds. It's God who grants us repentance unto life when we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It's God who gives us the gift of salvation, faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all God. He makes us willing in the day of his power by his almighty power. And he moves us to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we see here a sincere confession by Judah. Look at verse 16. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Now we see the type breakdown here as Christ is a sinless sacrifice. And Judah here proclaims he and his brother's sinfulness. When Christ our Savior was bought as a lamb to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He was the sinner's perfect substitute. He had no sins of his own. The iniquities of his people were laid upon him, and he laid down his life for them. And he was cut off out of the land of Leaven for the transgression of his people. Was he stricken? The sinless, spotless Lamb of God died as the sinner's substitute. It's he who has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And he shed his precious blood for himself, for his people, didn't he? He purged away our sins from God's sight forever. He did it all. And God places the silver cup of his salvation in earthen vessels, beloved, enlightening our minds to the glorious Christ-honoring truths. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And again, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, don't we? Oh, what a hope we have. Oh, what a hope we have. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Salvation's of the Lord from beginning to end. Look at verse 17. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get up in peace unto your father. Joseph said this to try their affection to their brother Benjamin, to see whether they would leave him to suffer the consequences of what appeared to be his guilt. He's testing them, beloved. He's testing them. Now let's read verses 18 to 34, where we see Judah's affection for Benjamin manifested. And for their father, his affection for his father, Israel, manifested in such a way that it cannot be denied that God had brought true conviction upon Judah's heart and granted him repentance for what he had done to Joseph. Let's read verses 18 to 34. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. So he acknowledges, he's now acknowledging his sovereignty. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, except your youngest brother, come down, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up into thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant, and now Judah speaking of himself here, for thy servant becomes surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Judah here pleads before Joseph. And it's a genuine plea, isn't it? It's a genuine plea. It's sincere and full of love and compassion for Benjamin and for Jacob, Joseph's father. And we clearly see by his willing spirit to become a bondman for the alleged crime of his younger brother, so that Benjamin could go free. We see in verse 33, Judah said, let me abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. Remember again that Judah said, I'd be a surety for Benjamin. Of my hand thou shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. We see here that Judah was true to his word. He was willing to swap places with Benjamin, wasn't he? He was, so that he could be set free and go to be with his father, who loved him more than life itself. And we see here in this verse that Judah typified the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the eternal covenant of grace agreed to be our blessed surety, the blessed surety of his people for all his Benjamins. For all his Benjamins. Our perfect Redeemer was true to his word, wasn't he? He became a man so that he could swap places with us, which is substitution. That's substitution. And that's what Judah was saying here. I'll be a surety. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore our sins before God in order to set us free, beloved. So that we could go to be with our Heavenly Father. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. He came to save his people from their sins. He became a man. He suffered and died in the place of his people so that we would be the sinless sons of God. Christ is our surety, beloved. He's Jehovah. And he cannot fail. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All our sin. All our sin. And Jesus Christ met all the conditions of the eternal covenant of grace in the place of his blood-bought people. And we stand before God right now in this very presence, in this very time. We who believe stand before God clothed in his perfect, spotless righteousness. What a Savior. What a God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the scriptures and how we can look into them and learn and see your hand at work. We see your hand at work in the life of Joseph. We see how you planned and purposed all this to come to pass. And, oh Lord, we can see ourselves in the brothers. We've sinned against thee, oh Lord. We've sinned against thee, but our blessed surety, the Lord Jesus Christ, died in our place, died in the place of his people. And now we are set free, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and one day we will be in thy presence, oh Lord, all because of thy mercy and grace. In Jesus' name.